To begin this message, I'd like to share a brief conversation with that I read about between a husband and wife. And an exasperated husband asked his wife, "Why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good?" And she quickly piped back, "Oh, yes, it does. 90% of the time of the things I worry about never happen. So that's why I do it." Now, that's a humorous way to look at worry. Worrying is a reality in our lives. I would say everybody in this room, including yours truly especially, worry at one point or another to a greater or lesser extent. But we all do it in a different way. I know within my own family, some of us worry more and others take life really as it happens. But all of us at one time or another worry somewhat. So I have a question for us today to start this message. What causes us to worry? Now, for some of us, it may be our health. You know, we have these aches that come up and these pains and we're getting older, or maybe we have a genetic disposition for a disease and we're worried about that. Maybe one of our ancestors died of a certain disease, or maybe heart problems. And in the back of our minds, we worry about that. Maybe it's our jobs. Maybe we're looming restructure is going to go on, or we have a coworker that is just incredibly, incredibly difficult to work with, and they're always undermining us, and it worries us what the impact of that person will be. Maybe it's neighbors. Maybe neighbors have moved in, or maybe some are moving out, and you're wondering what kind of person's going to move in, and we just worry about that and how it will impact our local community. Maybe it's our society. Maybe all the hate speech, all the disintegration of values and what we see around us, and maybe that causes us to worry a bit. Maybe it's our marriages. Things just don't seem to be going right. We're facing challenges, maybe financially, maybe emotionally, maybe with our children, and it takes a toll and it causes us to worry. And whether young or old, and this is what I've learned as my children get older, we still worry about them in one form or another, even though they're far away. But we might worry about how we can provide for them. When do you give your child space? When do you let them learn on their own and learn life? When do you intervene? And we might worry about that as well. And then we might worry about our parents. They're getting older. How will they take care of themselves? And when they're sick, who will be there for them? Maybe it's finances. Maybe we're worried about our finances. Maybe we found ourselves in a hole we can't get ourselves out of. Or we need to make repairs to our home. Or maybe we need a medical procedure and we just don't have the money and it worries us. Maybe it's school. Maybe we're at school and we have some tough classes. And I remember one of my undergraduate degrees, had intermediate accounting. Intermediate accounting was the class that they weaned accountants from. You went into intermediate accounting. If you can make it through with a C or above, you got to move on to the program. If you didn't, you got dropped. And so generally it was only maybe 15% of the class got to move on. So you worried about the grades. I fretted that. I remember that quarter, I fretted. I put a lot of time into that class to make sure I could move on, and it worried me. Maybe we have challenging teachers. I remember my kids having challenging teachers. I had challenging teachers. Maybe impossible students. You ever have to do a group project, and you're worried about the grade in the project because one of the students never pulled their weight? And it makes you worry. Maybe we're worried about our future. Will we be ready for what life holds out for us? Maybe we're in our teens, or we're a young adult, and life looks ominous. We don't know, and we hear things, and we see society changing. We see the job market changing. We see the world changing, and maybe we worry about that. Or maybe we worry about our relationship with God. Are we going to make it? Have we slipped? Are we doing enough? And we worry about that. And I'm sure in our individual circumstances, we have things that I did not cover about that take our attention, that cause us to lose sleep. And maybe you came in here not without a worry in the world, but after I covered this point, you have found something to worry about. Worry can take a toll on us, can't it? I would like to read an article from the Daily Mail entitled, What Worrying Does to Your Health, by Rosalind Ryan. When you worry, your body responds to your anxiety the same way it would respond to physical danger. To help you cope with the physical demands you're about to ask your body to perform, your brain releases stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol into the bloodstream. They trigger a range of physical reactions that will equip your body for action. Your heart rate increases. Your breathing becomes heavier. You may sweat more. You may become pale as the blood moves away from the skin and towards the muscles to help them prepare for the fight or flight situation your worry has created. And the article continues. But many of the things we worry about today cannot be dealt with fighting or running away. Credit card bills, bad relationships, stress at work cannot be dealt with physically, so our body remains in a state of anxiety, ready for action. This means the hormones are still circulating in the bloodstream. Teresa Frances Chung says over a prolonged period of time, the raised level of these chemicals can have a toxic effect on the glands, nervous system, and the heart, eventually leading to heart attacks, increased risk of stroke, and stomach ulcers. Because your body has tensed, ready to respond to the threat you are feeling, this muscle tension can result in aches and pains, causing headaches, back pain, weak legs, and trembling. The tension can also affect your digestive system. You may also be more prone to infections. It's widely accepted that stress and anxiety can lower your immune system, making you more susceptible to picking up colds or more serious illnesses. With excessive worry, our immune systems have little time to recover, so you become more tired and lethargic. Worrying also has an effect on our brains. Excessive worry can disturb your peace of mind by making it harder for you to concentrate one task at a time. And how many of us, when we're in a deep state of worry, have experienced that? This means it may also be difficult for you to fall asleep at night. And once you're suffering from insomnia, many worriers start to worry about that as well, making their symptoms worse. The article goes on, worrying may also make you absent-minded or neglectful of your health. You may feel too stressed to eat properly, so you're not getting enough vitamins and minerals in your diet. This could speed up the aging process as you're not replenishing your skin, muscles, or brain with the right nutrients for your food. Finally, the article states, excessive worry can even lead to depression. If you start to worry about everyone and everything day and night, feel that life is unfair and justice does not exist, or become paranoid that people will betray you, this could be the first signs of depression. Talk to your doctor or trained counselor if you're starting to feel like this. As noted in the article, worrying can cause a number of health issues. In a recent study at the University of Southern California, where I work, it's found that people who experience high anxiety at any time in their lives had a 48% higher risk of developing dementia as compared to those who do not. And as we see, worrying, especially excessive worrying, can have a detrimental impact on one's health. It impairs our ability to function normally. And it not only takes a toll on ourselves, but those around us. Yet it seems that worrying is the diet of the day, isn't it? We are plagued by what-if problems. What if my car was demolished? What if I get laid off from work? What if our home is burglarized? What if I get cancer? If we have a good job, we'll worry if we'll lose it. If we have good health, well, what if we lose it? Or we won't have it very long. If we take a true step back, and especially I think after seeing the election process this time, if we take a step back, we live in a worry-ridden, anxiety-ridden culture. Oh, the what-if scenarios are rampant. And there is so much we have available to us in this society, but it seems with the increased comfort level, the increased opportunities, has come increased anxiousness and worry for all. In a way, the more we have, the more we worry about, don't we? Whoever heard, for example, of identity theft 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, but now we worry about that. Merriam-Webster defines worry as to think about problems or fears, to feel or show fear and concern because you think that something bad has happened or going to happen. The English word worry comes from the Old English wigrem and the Old High German wergen, which means to strangle or to choke. Doesn't worry do that? Have you ever been in a worried state? Doesn't it feel like you're being strangled and choked? Doesn't your mind become tunnel vision? It's like you're in a cave and all you can see is the worry that's on your mind and everything else is off to the side. And it chokes our thinking. It chokes our actions. In the Bible, the Greek word is used in most New Testament references, but for the word worry has in its root the Greek word marzio, which means to divide. So that's another interesting, to choke. To divide, that's what worry does. Thus, worrying can be defined, as it relates to in the Bible, as a divided mind. And doesn't that worry do that to us? Our mind becomes just divided. The world's going on around us. Our kids have needs. Our parents have needs. Our family has needs. But we're so focused on our worry, the tunnel vision. And I've had that. I have had that. I've been in that. And I know of where I speak. Isn't that the case when we worry? We have to function, but our mind's distracted. We can't eat. We can't sleep. We can't think. Somebody talks to us, and we just can't focus on it. We become distracted because the worry takes so much of our mind. We are divided. We are distracted because of the burden on our mind. Worry has been defined as a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. In my research of this topic, there were a number of times a study was quoted, where I like to quote now, where it concluded that the average person worries about 40% of things that never happen, 30% of the things of the past that cannot be changed, 12% related to matters of criticism by others, which are mostly untrue, 10% about health, which actually gets worse with worrying. And 8% of our worries are about real problems that will be faced. 8%. The rest, we worry and we waste our lives with it. So isn't that basically true in our lives? How many times have we worried about things, yours truly included, that have not come to fruition? We come up with incredible worst-case scenarios. Oh, I just know this is going to happen. You fret and you worry, and then you expect the absolute worst. It distracts us. It saps us from energy, and it doesn't really happen. At least not in the way we thought it would happen. Yet, what do we continue to do? We continue to worry, don't we? Okay, we've learned from, well, that was an unreal worry, but this next one, this one's pretty real. I'm going to really spend my time and worry about this one. And I'm speaking to myself. As my wife will tell you, I'm the worrier of the family, and I have to work on that in myself. So, in the context of this message, I do want to point out a differentiation I think is really important. There's a difference about being worried and being concerned. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about things. We shouldn't worry about things. God doesn't have that in mind that we shouldn't be concerned. Of course we should be concerned, but we shouldn't worry. I would like to read from a newsletter from Ascent Advising entitled, "Worry is Problem-Oriented, Concern is Solution-Oriented." It starts, "Worrying is ruminating about an issue that's plaguing us without actually making any substantive progress in addressing the issue. The dictionary supports this with definitions such as to touch or disturb something repeatedly, to subject persistent or nagging attention or effort, to afflict with mental distress or agitation, make anxious. This is in contrast to the word concern. Concern, I would offer, is solution-oriented. Concern focuses on solving the problem, addressing the issue. It isn't going over the same points over and over without adding value to the thought. It is coming up with options, setting priorities, drawing conclusion. The newsletter goes on. When considering the differences between worry and concern, consider these distinctions. Worry distracts us. Concern focuses us. Worrying disables planning. Concern helps us to plan. Worry blurs our vision. Concern clarifies our purpose. Worry tends to give up. Concern perseveres. Worry exaggerates. Concern pinpoints problems. Worry focuses on self. Concern cares for others. So why do we worry? There are various reasons why we worry, and I'd like to propose three causes, root causes of why we worry. One, we fear the unknown, don't we? We fear the unknown. Life can be unpredictable, uncertain at times, which it can create insecurity in us. For example, we might be worrying about the future of our children. We may worry that there's a change in work when we may be restructured out of a job. We may be worried about that pain we're having that just doesn't seem to go away. It's fear of the unknown. Secondly, we can worry about losing what we have, don't we? Losing what we have, whether it's health, happiness, status, freedom, independence, relationships, things we've accumulated, even life itself can result in us worrying about it. Life is tenuous, very tenuous. I had a brother, a younger brother, a little over 3 years ago, who one day got a car ran off the road and killed him. I didn't know that was going to happen, neither did he. Life is tenuous. Sometimes things can happen resulting in a loss for us, and thinking about it can worry us. The third reason I believe we worry is because we try to control something we have little or no control over. We deceive ourselves in believing that we can actually control things we have little or no power over. For example, we cannot control about how someone else feels about us. We can't. That is their feelings. We can try to manipulate. We can try to present an image that's not true. But ultimately, we can't control the other person's opinion of us. We can only control the person we are and the way we act and speak, but really not how others receive us. So at its root, when you look at these, fear of the unknown, losing what we have, and trying to control something we have little or no control over, at the root cause, worrying is often fear of uncertainty. As we noted earlier, worriers worry about things that rarely really occur. But a number of people who worry, it's been pointed out in one study, actually believed and actually reported that overthinking a problem, a negative problem, with a possible negative event actually helped it from taking place, like the initial conversation between the husband and wife. People actually thought by fretting and worrying, it actually helped take care of the problem. In other words, chronic worriers operate under the misperception that their fretting allows them to control the future. Worrying's like a coping mechanism. It's like magical thinking of some sort, but it's tortuous and illogical, and it's one of self-protection. Maybe we think that way. In this message today, I want to explore the topic of worry and how to approach worry from a biblical and practical perspective. Leo Buscaglia, the motivational speaker, the leader of the 20th century, once stated, "Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy." Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. The sorrow is going to come. It only saps today of its joy. In starting the discussion, I would like to ask you, which of the following phrases fit the way we deal with worry in our lives? We have multiple phrases. You could decide which one works or doesn't work within our own lives and how we deal with worry. Or maybe others have told us this. And here are the phrases. Don't worry, it may never happen. Don't worry, you just need to get control of yourself. Don't worry, it's all going to be over soon. Don't worry, be happy, laugh your troubles away. Don't worry, it might get better, but probably it'll get worse. I always enjoy that one. Don't worry, just put it out of your mind. Quit thinking about it. With regard to don't worry, quit thinking about it, I like to read from an article from Victoria Stern, Why We Worry, from the Scientific American. In 1987, Daniel Wegner, a psychologist at Harvard University, found that when people were told to not think about a white bear, they tend to mention it in a conversation at least once a minute. In the experiment, Wegner left a participant in a room with a microphone and a bell and asked the volunteer to talk freely about any topic. At one point, he interrupted the person's monologue and told him to continue talking, but this time to not think of a white bear. If the subject did think of a white bear, he had to ring the bell. On average, people rang the bell more than 6 times in the next 5 minutes and even said white bear out aloud several times. So by trying to put a worry or a thought out of our mind, it only actually makes us worry worse, Wegner says. Just like a song gets stuck in your head, you think you ought to be able to get rid of it, but it only ends up making it stick more and more by trying to push it away. So pushing something out of our mind is not the solution to worry. In fact, none of the pieces of advice I just read are the best ways to deal with worry. In our journey in this life, we shouldn't be seeking to escape or withdraw or removing ourselves from our problems. But on the conversely, we shouldn't be apathetic, indifferent, fatalistic, or unconcerned about the situations we may be facing. So what are we supposed to do? Well, it's best to look at our compass, our instruction book, for the answer. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 25. We're familiar with this, Matthew 6, verse 25. And it talks about worrying in our lives. Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. It states in Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow thrown in the oven, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when we look at verse 25, don't worry about your life, it doesn't mean the following. Not worrying doesn't mean we don't plan. First, not worrying doesn't mean we don't plan. The King James Version here translates, do not be worried, as take no thought. And this can be misleading because it gives the impression that future planning isn't necessary. Over the years that people have taken these scriptures as and assumed that this was a prohibition against career planning or prudent financial investing or even taking on life or health insurance. And I would surmise that a lack of planning is really the crux and the root of many people's worries in their lives. And the second, with regard to verse 25, is not worrying doesn't mean don't be concerned. We need to have some degree of healthy concern. We can be concerned about our children playing near traffic. We can be concerned and keep an eye on them. We can be concerned about our health, so we try to watch what we eat. As we covered earlier, concern is evaluating the situation and coming up with options, setting priorities, drawing conclusions. Concern leads us to an action we can take when faced with a situation. Remember, worrying is problem-oriented. Looks at the past, looks at worry as problems, where concern focuses on solutions and looks forward to the future. And going back to the scriptures we read in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 24, there are seven things that God wants us to consider when it comes to worry. The first is in verse 25, where the same God who created you in you can be trusted with the details of that life. Worrying causes us to lose focus on how special we are to God, and that's in verse 26. When it talks about the birds of the air. Number three, worrying in reality doesn't accomplish anything of value. And that's verse 27. Which one of you can add one cubit to his stature? Worrying doesn't add value. Verses 28 to 30 tell us that God does not ignore those who depend on him. Number five, worrying shows a lack of understanding of God and our relationship with him, verse 31 to 32. Number six, worrying keeps us from focusing on what God wants us to pursue, the direction we should be heading in our lives, in verse 33, where it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And number seven, focus on living the day at hand and meet the challenges we face every day. Don't worry what tomorrow will bring. And that's in verse 34, where it says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There are two overriding principles with regard to set of scriptures regarding worry. One, there is more to life than what we worry about. And second, if God can take care of his creation, he can take care of his children. That doesn't mean in life we won't face challenges. We all will. We face them really in many ways every day. Life has its challenges. That is life. It's temporary. It's physical. It's challenging. But God assures us he's on his throne looking out for his children. Turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. It states, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The International Standard Version renders verse 7 as follows. Throw all your worry on him because he cares for you. God cares for us. He wants us to throw our worries upon him. Throws our cares, our worries. And God, through his Spirit, will give us peace of mind in time of trouble. But we have to request it. Turn to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6, it states, be anxious for nothing, or some translations say, don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. Notice what it doesn't say here. It doesn't say that God will take away the situation that we're facing, which is causing us to worry. What does God promise? Peace of mind. Not that the situation would go away. But here's important when we go to God, and I think it's really important when we worry. First of all, we have to go to God in prayer. We go to God first, and we go humbly before his throne. Then we have a supplication. That's our request. We make our request known to God. But I think the third part is incredibly important. Thanksgiving. We need to thank God for what we've been blessed with. If you're ever worried, is it easy to thank anything? We're so worried in our situation. Do we ever say, well, I'm really thankful for X, A, B, C, D, E, F, G? No, it's the worry. And what God says, disengage your mind from the worry and focus when you're coming before me with your request of what you should be thankful for. All the blessings we have. If we're worried about our children, do we thank God for our children? Many people don't have that privilege and opportunity. If we're worried about our health, do we thank God for the life we've had, for the opportunities that we've been given? If we are worried about our marriage, do we remember the time when we had a spouse, remember the things that attracted us together and thankful for them? Are we thankful for our memories and the opportunity to go forward with someone side by side? When we do this, when you go to first in prayer and make the request with thanksgiving, it shows that God will give us a peace of mind beyond our understanding. And I've tried this a few times when I've worried and I've focused on thanksgiving, and it is really amazing how it causes a peace of mind. But is that it? Is that it? That's all we do? Well, as God opened the Red Sea for Israel to pass through, which was an intervention by God and the Israelites, what did the Israelites have to do? They just didn't stand there and say, okay, here it is. No, they had to take an action. They had to walk through the Red Sea. In dealing with worry, we need to take an action as well to do our part. And I'd like to explore five actions that we should take in combating worry in our lives. Our first action we should take in combating worry is to what? Challenge our worries. Challenge our worries. Keep them in perspective. As noted earlier in this message, only 8% of the worries are based on real problems that need to be faced. We need to look at the worries that we're facing. Is it rational? If it is, make it a concern and take action. If we're worried about a test at school, make it a concern. Take action. Set aside additional time to study or get a tutor or get a work group, study group. If we're worried about finances, make it a concern. Take action. Come up with a plan on dealing with financial challenges. Maybe get a professional to help us navigate through that. If we're worried about our health, make it a concern. Take action. Evaluate and make changes in our lifestyle that promote health. Go for an annual physical. In challenging our worries, one of the things that may be helpful for us is to set aside 15 minutes every day to challenge our worries, to think on them, to purposely think on them, not to avoid them, to think on them, not to run away from them, but to focus our attention on them. But doing so in a controlled period of time, not when we're driving. That's a bad time. But so we can do it. And so we're not obsessed with them. And every day you just say to yourself, I'm going to focus on my worries for this 15 minutes in the morning, and I'm done. I'm not going to put my mind on them the rest of the day. During this time of this reflection, we should examine our past worries. And if we have a hard time remembering what our past worries are, means very likely they didn't come to fruition. Or we were able to deal with the matter and get through it. In addition, during this time, we should face our problems. When we face our problems, are there things we can do to mitigate what's causing us to worry? We need to be rational in challenging our worries, to look them squarely in the eye and look them squarely at how they're impacting our lives. So the bottom line is, then we can ask ourselves this question: what happens if it comes true? What happens if it really comes true? And I remember some years ago when I was making a significant career change in my life, and I asked my wife that. I said, if I were to lose my job, let's say I go into this job, I was going into the public accounting sector from the private. If I were to lose my job, I had a family with small children. I was concerned. It worried me to make this significant change. And I was focused on not the excitement of the job. I was worried about I'm going to lose the job, how I was going to lose it. And so I asked my wife, what happens if it comes true? And she simply stated, well, we'll just start all over again, won't we? Logical thought. Just start all over. We'll make it work. And so we need to look at our past disappointments and our failures. What did we learn from them? Did they help us in any way? Was the experience really all that bad, or did it make us a better person? We should not run from our worries. We should take a short period of time every day to face them, challenge them, evaluate them, and ask ourselves, are they rational or irrational? Irrational, address that. If they're rational, then make it into a concern and take action. Secondly, learn to accept life is uncertain. We cannot control everything. Learn to accept that life is uncertain and we cannot control everything. People who worry have a hard time accepting that they can never have complete control in their lives, that life has uncertainties that we cannot control. Even the Bible notes that life is uncertain. Turn to James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. It states in James 4, verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that disappears for a little time and then vanishes away. We can't control what others think about us. We can't control necessarily what others do. We can't control all aspects of society around us. We can't control getting older. We need to accept that. There are things we can control, and we have to accept there are things we cannot. So what's the point of worrying and fretting about things we cannot control? I'm not saying this is easy. It's not easy at all, and it will take a conscious effort on our parts to accept the reality that there are just some things that are out of our control. And in these situations, we need to put the matter into God's hands and let the peace that surpasses all understanding envelop us. A third action we can take in dealing with worry, we need to choose a healthy lifestyle. We need to choose a healthy lifestyle. Comfort food isn't always the best. I know there are times I was going through a situation this week at work and someone came by with the best white sugar frosting piece of cake and I ate it. I wanted comfort food. I did. I even said, I remember seeing it. And then my director of operations went up to me and chewed me out because she knows I'm on a regulated diet from my doctor, and she was chewing me out. And I went, I needed comfort food. Comfort food isn't the best. Sometimes it's good, though, I will admit. So if we're not living a healthy lifestyle, we can unwittingly contribute to worry in our lives. So from an article entitled, I like to read, Lifestyle Tips for Managing Anxiety, it states, you can also make lifestyle changes and adopt healthy habits to ease your anxiety symptoms. First, exercise. Add regular physical activity to your life. It's one of the best things you could do to reduce anxiety symptoms and facilitate healing. Exercise boosts mood, improves sleep, reduces tension, calms stress. And not rigorous exercise, sometimes just a walk. It also provides a time of mindless distraction away from your worries and your fears. Eat and drink well. No one food or drink will make anxiety disappear, but your mood and energy will best be supported by a balanced diet, steady meal and snack times, and awareness of any food sensitivities, like white sugar frosting on an awesome cake. It was so good. I'm guilty. Stay properly hydrated. Minimize your intake of caffeine and alcohol, both of which can trigger anxiety-like sensation in the body. The article also discusses the need for adequate rest and cultivating calm in our lives. Like the body, the mind can overrun with anxiety, and it's so thus it needs extra rest. We may want to consider activities that provide a peace of mind, simple things, reading a book, listening to music, taking a leisurely slow and a nice walk in a cool evening. As we know, we are told to take care of the bodies we've been given. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. It states, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, for whom you have from God, and you are not on your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Taking care of our bodies and building a healthy lifestyle can alleviate worry. A fourth way we need to take action to deal with worry is spend time with others who can positively impact our lives. One of the ways to combat worry, as noted in WebMD, it states the following. Have a strong social network. Chronic feelings of loneliness or social isolation make it harder to effectively manage stress. People who are happily married or have large networks of friends not only have greater life expectancies compared with those who do not, but they also have fewer incidences of almost all types of diseases. When we're worried, what is the one thing and really is a danger when we're worried? One of the things we tend to do is to go into isolation, don't we? We just want to crawl off in the corner and that tunnel vision comes into mind and that's all we can focus on. And it's one of the worst things we can do. What we need to do is we need the encouragement and strength and friendship and positive outlook of others that can provide. Sitting alone with a television, with a computer, or with a bottle is not the way to deal with worry. Proverbs 12, verse 25. And I like to read from the New International Version, Proverbs 12, verse 25. It states, "An anxious heart can weigh a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." We are to seek the encouragement of one another, and it's important to use the words we use with one another to encourage one another. Indeed, as part of God's family, we are to be a community of encouragers. That's why it's important to come to church, not just to hear the messages, but it's so we can encourage one another, to meet together. You know, Hebrews 10:25 notes that we're not to neglect the meeting of one another. Why? Because we are here to encourage one another, especially as we see the day approaching. There will be worry. There will be anxiousness as we see the day approaching. And Hebrews 10:25 tells us, get together. And it's not only services. Whenever we can get together and encourage one another, it gives us strength. It cheers us up. It helps us fight the worry and anxiousness that's around us in our society today. We have an incredible blessing. And that's called each other. Finally, the fifth action we can take in dealing with worry is to consult with a health professional. It really could be, and I work for a medical school, and I'm not a doctor, but I do work with a medical school, but it could be that health-related problems could be triggering our worries and feelings of anxiety. It's normal to feel worry at times. We should try to change it into concerns that we live in. But if we are unable to cope, it would be wise to seek the help of a health professional. And we should start talking with our primary care physician. And it may be prudent to get a routine physical exam to make sure there's not some health problem, some physical problem that's triggering our anxiety and feelings of anxiety. In this message, we examine worry and the impact in our lives, because worry can take a toll, doesn't it? It's taken a toll in all our lives, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. For the purpose of this topic, we differentiated worry and concern. Worry is problem-oriented. Frets about matters. Concern is solutions-oriented, and it takes actions. And I propose there are three causes of why we worry. Fear of the unknown. Fear of losing what we have. Trying to control something we have little or no control over. And in Matthew 6, we saw seven things that God wants us to consider when it comes to worry. One, the same God who created you, life in you, can be trusted with the details of that life. Number two, worrying causes us to lose focus on how special we are to God. Three, worrying in reality doesn't accomplish anything of value. Four, God does not ignore those who depend on him. Five, worrying shows a lack of understanding of God and our relationship with him. Six, worrying keeps us from focusing on what God wants us to pursue. Seven, focus on living that the day at hand and meet the challenges we face every day. Do not worry what tomorrow will bring. And thus, we see that we have, based on these seven things, we see that God gives two overriding principles when it comes to worry. One, there is more to life than what we're worrying about, so much more. Number two is, if God takes care of his creation, he will take care of his children. We also examine going before God with our worries in prayer, with a request, a supplication, a petition, and thanksgiving. And I would really encourage us, if we are worried, when we go before God, think about things we're thankful for. It really makes a difference. We put our worries into God's hands and promises peace beyond understanding. We also have our part, don't we, in dealing with worry. We should challenge our worries. We should face them rather than run from them. Are we, what we worried about, rational or irrational? We need to accept that we can't control everything in our lives. We need to choose a healthy lifestyle. We should spend time with others and seek encouragement from each other, to give encouragement and be willing to receive encouragement as well. And it could be health problems are triggering on ongoing anxieties and worries. In these circumstances, we should consult with a health professional. We live in an anxious world, don't we? And I think since the election, it's even become more anxious. But with God's help, with the encouragement of others, and if we challenge our worries, if we face them head on, we can combat the burden of worry in our lives. It's our choice in how we go forward. To conclude this message, I'd like us to turn to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. It states, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." If we're weary and burdened, we can go to God, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you for the time. It's an honor to be with you, and looking forward to seeing you at our afterwards with the food, and I cannot have white sugar. Because I...